preach the word. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God. Amen. There's so many people that's lost and dying in this world today. And the Lord is coming soon. Praise the Lord. The Lord is coming soon. And we're going to look in the book of Ezra this afternoon, this evening. Book of Ezra. And I'll read to you a few verses there. And then I want to jump over a little bit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Book of Ezra, chapter 3. I'm going to read to you a few verses here. Just we'll start reading verse 11. Let's go to verse 10, if you don't mind. When the builders had laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men, that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. Amen. I want to read to you in the book of Haggai. And we read to you in Ezra here where they laid the foundation of the temple. After the foundation of the temple was laid, the people were discouraged, mainly for the reason that we read to you right there, because of those that remembered the former temple. And so the work was paused for 15 years. For 15 years. While they built houses, while they moved into their homes, and while they built sealed houses, the Bible says. But then the Lord begins to move on Israel again. Haggai chapter 2, and verse 3. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. Many people, when they laid the foundation of the second temple, Solomon's temple was a beautiful temple. It was beautiful. It was large. It was massive. It was constructed with gold and with silver and all types of beautiful things that made it a beautiful place. They say if it was built today, Solomon's temple would run into the billions of dollars if it was built today. with all the gold and with all the beautiful things that was in that temple. And so you can imagine how when you've had something that nice and something that beautiful and then it's destroyed and carried away. And they laid the foundation of this second temple. And when they laid the foundation of the second temple, it was kind of like ordinary, kind of plain, kind of small. Really didn't match up to what the former temple was all about. And so there was those among them, those that had been around for a number of years, that those that had witnessed the Solomon's temple and all of its glory, they had witnessed the massiveness and the beauty of Solomon's temple. They probably remembered. Some of them might have been there, some of them might have just heard, but they might have remembered the glory of the Lord filling Solomon's temple. Amen. And the glory of God filling that place that even the priest could not minister. It was a place where the cloud of the glory of God entered into that place and filled Solomon's temple. Maybe they remembered that. Maybe those thoughts entered their mind as they saw this little foundation going up that was going to be the temple. It wasn't much. The Bible says that some shouted for joy while others wept. Kind of a mixed emotion. Mixed feelings there. And he said that the weeping and the shouting were so loud that you could not discern one from the other. In other words, the weeping did not drown out the shouting. And the shouting did not drown out the weeping. But there was those that as they looked on, and they saw what was being built in place of their beautiful temple, and there was a disillusion that settled in. There's something that a disappointment that settled on them. To think that we had something so wonderful, had something so beautiful, and now look what we are getting. Amen. I was going to preach this to you this morning, and I just thought, well, you know, I'll preach something different tonight. But all day long, I just kept thinking about these verses. Because there's so many times it's easy for us to become disillusioned. It's easy for us to become disillusioned. You see, when we look at our life many times, we have these wonderful fantasies that we think ought to take place. We think that, you know, tell you, you watch young ladies get married, and I'm telling you what, some of them have this. They want a dream wedding, right? They want the wedding of a princess, right? But they got to have it on the budget of a pauper, you know? They want the wedding of the century. They want the wedding that everybody's going to talk about. They want this big, beautiful thing. And they got their heart set on it. Oh, it's got to be this way. The lights have got to be just right. You know? This has got to be hanging just perfectly. And I can tell you, it don't always work out the way that you dream it's going to. You can lay in your bed at night and dream about the wedding that you're going to have. But listen, many times, it just don't work out that way. It don't work out that way. But when it's all said and done, guess what? You're still married. You are still married. And you're just as married as the one that spent $20,000. Right? Didn't get many amens from the girls there, did we? They didn't amen too loudly. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The dads were saying amen, right? Moms were saying amen. But that's the way it is, that we have this illusion. And many times we go into marriage with the illusion that marriage is just going to be this, you know, awesome thing where you're just going to float around on a cloud the rest of your life. And you're never going to have to worry about a bill being paid. You're never going to have to worry about what you're going to eat. You're never going to have to worry about anything. All everything's going to be just beautiful. So awesome. Man, and then suddenly, you know, about 10 days after the wedding, pop. Here we go. Crash. Man, it's not what we, it's, man, this is what I thought it was supposed to be. This is not, man, you know, now he's going to work, he's coming home, he stinks. He's all filthy, dirty. He don't clean up after himself. I have to do all, you know, come on. You know what I'm talking about? Now the reality sets in. The reality of life sets in. Remember when you was a kid and you was thinking about getting your driver's license, McKenzie? And you was thinking about turning 16 and getting your driver's license and getting, you're thinking about, dreaming about the car that you're going to have. Right now, McKenzie has dreams of this car. It's probably a Ford Mustang and red chrome wheels. I'm sorry? Purple, I'm sorry. It's purple. Chrome wheels. I mean, it's got everything imaginable, the sunroof and all these types of things. She's dreaming about that car. She's just, oh, I can't wait. That's the kind of car I'm going to have. That's the kind of car I'm going to have. And then, guess what? She turns 16. The car she gets has about 250,000 miles on it. It's all rusted out. Man, right? And just barely runs, and he smokes, and all kinds of stuff like that. And what happened to my purple Mustang? Reality sets in sometimes. Reality sets in our life, and we don't just have. So what you have to do is you have to start looking for a boy that owns a purple Mustang. Right, a boy that has that purple Mustang that you can fall in love with and get that purple Mustang one way or the other. Okay? We come through life with such grand illusions, grand hopes and dreams that we think's gonna happen. And we can just see it's gonna be that way in our life. And then suddenly we are disappointed. We are let down. Life sometimes has a way of busting the bubble that you are living in. Life has a way of bringing us into reality so quickly. It has a way of waking us up and making us realize, amen, that not everything's going to come our way and that everything's going to work out gloriously. And then we realize, Lord, have you left me? Have you forsaken me? Lord, nothing's working out in my life. Things begin to go bad. Things begin to happen in our life, and we feel like our life is a mess, and it's full of destruction and chaos, and my life is falling apart. Amen. Because now the dream that we had becomes a disillusion. It's not all that we hoped for. Right? Man, remember when you and your husband or wife sat down and was planning your future together before you got married? Remember the house that you thought you would live in? Remember what the place that you thought you would own? Remember the car that you thought you would drive? Remember the jobs and the money that you thought you would have? You entered in with such hope and such dream, and then suddenly, where are we now? Where's that house? Where's that car? Where's the money? In some cases, where's the job? It's just sometimes it don't happen the way that we anticipate that it should. And sometimes it don't work out that way. And we become disillusioned with the things of life. When you got married, you thought, we're going to live to be an old people together. You got to live to be old together. We're going to have, you know, 10 children. We're going to have all these kids, and our kids are going to be perfect, by the way. Everything's going to be fine. We're going to enjoy each other's company for the rest of our life and for a long life. Life sometimes has a way of twisting things up on us. Has a way of taking all of our dreams and all of our hopes and crashing them down around us. We don't anticipate for sickness, illness, and disease to come into our family and to rob us of the joys that we have, the joys that we enjoy together, to watch one of our loved ones become sick and fade away and even pass away. And then we say, Lord, amen, Lord, I thought we was going to have so much time together. And the next thing you know, it's taken from you and it is gone. Dreams turn to disillusion so quickly. So quickly. You have people that have children, they have such promise for their children. Such hope for their children. And we have friends that their children just like ours. Their kids were just like ours. They were friends and they were close and they had great hopes for them. But their kids went out into eternity at a young age. Some because of accident. Some because of health and sickness and disease. And the dreams that they had for their children turn to disillusionment. Comes on every one of us. Sometimes when we look at our life, we feel like, Lord, man, this is nothing like what I planned for. I don't know why I'm sharing this with you tonight. This is what I got on my heart, all right? This is nothing like what I thought it would be. This is nothing like what I thought it was going to turn out to be like. This is nothing what I dreamed that I dreamed it would be, Lord. God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you failed me? Why have you let me down, Lord? Amen, Lord, now once there should have been joy, amen, now there is a weeping. Now there is a crying because now, amen, the thing that we had hoped for, all of our dreams are being dashed. All of our dreams are crashing down around us. We wonder, Lord, how and why? Why did this happen and how did this happen? And we became very disillusioned. Amen. When I look at these people in the book of Ezra, amen, they had such hopes and such dreams for Solomon's temple. And now it's all crashed down around them and they're weeping because what they had thought they would have, they no longer have it. The thing that was once beautiful in their life is gone and taken from them. Now they're down and left to nothing. Man, I understand why they're weeping. I understand why they're crying. Amen. They had had so much and now it is gone from them. They had had something so beautiful, something so wonderful, something that the whole world looked to, and yet they have lost it all and it is gone from them. Gone from them. Man, when I read that, I can understand the disillusion because I tell you what, we've all been there before. We've all know what it's been like to be disappointed because things didn't happen the way we thought they were going to happen. It didn't work out the way that we thought it was going to work out. Now we weep and we cry because of the disillusion that we face in our life today. Man, as I read this, I wonder, Lord, how do these people overcome the disillusion in their life? Amen. But first, let me tell you, amen, that sometimes, amen, when our dreams come crashing down, amen, God has something much greater in store, amen, for you, even after your dreams have crashed down around you. Amen. Can I tell you, I believe that Job probably was very disillusioned when all that he had was taken from him, when his children were taken from him, all of his possessions was gone. I believe he probably was very disillusioned. But in the end result, amen, he had twice as much as what he lost. Amen. Because God is faithful and God is good and God does work in our life. Amen. When all of our dreams crash, amen, God still has a purpose and God still has a plan. And even though you may not see it now, amen, and even though through your tears you don't understand what's happening, amen, God has a plan. God has a purpose. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, we plan for our future. And I have a friend that planned for his future. He may had good money, had a lot of money, had it all put back. He's going to take care of things for their future. But he never anticipated the stock market would wipe it all out. And it'd be left down to starting over again when he was farther along in years. Can I tell you, sometimes our dreams crumble down around us. They fall apart. They go into pieces. And we say, Lord, what are you doing? Amen. The disillusion of our life. Amen. Sometimes God turns it in to his glorious working in our life. God still has a plan. Amen. Amen. When your life goes to pieces, amen, God still has a piece. You hear me? When all you have is pieces, he still has a piece. A peace that passeth understanding. That peace that you can have in your life when everything else falls to pieces. Hallelujah. The Lord told these people, amen, the glory of this latter house is going to be greater than the glory of the former. Man, they could not see that. They couldn't see it through all their tears. But God was still doing some marvelous working. God was doing some marvelous thing for them. Hallelujah. Amen. God was going to do something marvelous in their life, and they could not see it because all they were focused on, amen, was all of their dreams crashing down around them. But God was not done. Amen. Yes, what we dreamed of may be gone. Amen. But God still has a glory, amen, that will shine in our life one day. Hallelujah. And first of all, they built an altar. They built an altar. They just called out on God. Amen. They didn't have a temple. They didn't have walls. They didn't have gold pillars. Amen. But what they had was an altar. Amen. They just built an altar and began to call out on God and begin to seek after the Lord. Amen. You don't have to have nothing in your life but an altar. When everything is taken from you, when everything is gone from you, when everything is being taken from you, can I tell you, amen, build an altar. Build an altar. Hallelujah. Because God, amen, will do something marvelous for you. Amen. When your dreams are crashing down around you, amen, just fall on your face at an altar and begin to call out to God. Amen. And begin to seek the Lord. Amen. When you feel like everything, all of your grand dreams is fading away and you're becoming disillusioned with life, amen, fall on an altar and call out on the Lord because he still has a plan. He still has a plan. Hallelujah. They built an altar. Man, we got to get back to the old altar and pray and seek the Lord. Amen. They begin to recall and remember. Amen. What great things God had done. They begin to remember what awesome things God has. Listen, there's a verse in here that stood out to me. He says, the Lord told him, he says, all the gold is mine. All the silver is mine. You know, they were weeping and crying because they weren't going to have a gold and silver in their nice new their tabernacle. Solomon's was decorated in gold and silver, and it made it beautiful. And that's what they were focused on, gold and silver. Gold and silver, and that's what made it beautiful, and that's what made it special, and that's what made it wonderful. But God said, amen, I've got all the gold. I've got all the silver. Amen. I don't need that. I don't need that. Amen. That's not what God is looking for. Amen. You don't have to have dreams. You don't have to have everything in the world given to you. Amen. But what God wants from you, amen, is not just possessions, not just all that, but he wants you to worship him and give him glory, even in the difficult times, even in the bad times, even when your dreams are shattered and gone. Amen. God don't need the gold. Amen. He needs you to worship him. He needs you to worship him and live for him. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to hurry here. I'm going to jump ahead. Can I tell you? He said, this house, this latter house, the glory of this latter house will surpass the glory of the former house. The former house, you got to be kidding me. The glory of the Lord filled that place with a cloud. The glory of the Lord came in that place and a cloud settled in there and the priest could not stand to minister. Wow. But you know what happened in the second temple? Something more marvelous than the presence of God in the form of a cloud came into that second temple. Amen. Because when you read on in Scripture, okay, it was that second temple that was there for many, many, many years. It was remodeled, became known as Herod's temple. But guess who walked into that temple? It wasn't a cloud, but it was Jesus Christ that walked into that temple. Amen. It wasn't a cloud that came in as the presence of God, but it was God that came in to that place. Amen. It was Jesus Christ that walked in to that temple. Can I tell you, God has plans for your life. God has a plan right now. And although you feel like all your dreams are fading away, amen, can I tell you, amen, that that's really not what matters, whether we have all of our dreams. But, oh, God, if we can have your presence among us, Lord, more than anything, Lord, I desire to have your presence. I desire to have your glory. Hallelujah. God has a plan. God has a plan for you. Hallelujah. And I believe that God can walk into your life today. Amen. And make your life something glorious and something special, even after all your dreams have crashed. Even after all your dreams have crashed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell you, I think losing a child would have to be one of the worst things in the world to have to endure, to lose one of your children, to have them pass away. But I can tell you, we've had friends that have lost their child. And they felt like at that moment that their world was crumbling down around them. And they felt like all of their dreams and all of their life was falling in pieces about them. Amen. But thanks to the grace and glory of God upon their life, amen, they were able to rise up, amen, be in the ministry, work for God, amen, build the church, amen, accomplish something for God. Amen, I can tell you that even though the worst of circumstances may happen in your life, amen, the disillusion of life is just a temporary setback because God has a plan for you right now. God has a plan. He looks at our life and he says, what? You don't need all those dreams. That's not important. That's not what matters to me. That's not what it matters. All that you have your heart set on, that's not important. And that's not important. But what I want to do in your life is what really matters. What I want to do through you is what really matters. The work of God that I want to accomplish in your life today is what really, really matters. You can lose everything that you have. Everything that you have, but that don't mean God's done. Hallelujah. Don't mean that God's done. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Stand with me if you would. How quickly we become disillusioned. We feel like our dreams are in pieces.
Yes.
All that we hoped for,
right,
was gone.
Hallelujah.
Taken from us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But God's not done. Amen. While people were rejoicing this morning over souls being saved, maybe you were weeping in your heart because you feel like your dream is falling apart. God's not done yet. God's not done yet. God's still working.
Yes, He is.
Hallelujah. 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 Let's bow our heads right now. Praise God. Lord, I shared what was on my heart tonight. Lord, I pray that you would take and use it for your glory. God, that you would work in somebody's life. God, let somebody see, Lord, God, that though they are disappointed, though they have been let down, though their dreams are crumbling around them, God, you've still got a plan. And what you're going to do, Lord, God, will be greater than what they ever anticipated. What you're going to do in their life, Lord, will be much more glorious than they could ever imagine. Your plan, your purpose, God, far exceeds what we could ever imagine. And I pray, Lord Jesus, God, be our help. Be our strength. I pray in Jesus' name.
Oh, yes, He
Hallelujah.
Does.
Hallelujah. Sing that.
About. So don't be discouraged and don't ever Working it out.